I entitled my message this week, Born of the Spirit. And I want to use for my text in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, very familiar passages. The New Living Translation says this. The subtitle of chapter 3 is Jesus and Nicodemus. After dark one evening, a Jewish religious leader by the name of Nicodemus, a Pharisee who came to speak with Jesus, he said, "Teacher, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are proof enough that God is with you." Now these are red letter additions, so Jesus replied, "I assure you, unless you are born again, you cannot, never, see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Red letter edition, Jesus replied, "The truth is, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives new life from heaven. So don't be surprised at my statement that you must be born again. Just as you can hear the wind, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit." "What do you mean?" Nicodemus asked. Again, Jesus replied, red letter edition, "You are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. I assure you, I am telling you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe us. But if you don't even believe me when I tell you about things that happen here on earth, how can you possibly believe if I tell you what is going on in heaven? For only I, the Son of Man, must come to earth and will return to heaven again. And Moses did lift up that bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up on a pole, so that everyone who believes in me will have eternal life." Verses 16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in me will not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it." Well, may God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. Born of the Spirit. Now, I know sometimes we watch the weather at night. Some of the local weather people, especially if we got fog in the area, they'll bring up a picture of downtown Tallahassee, and they'll say, "That's downtown Tallahassee, but the fog is so thick you can't see it." Well, that might be the hidden city. I don't know. There's an artist by the name of David Frederick, and he's known for his spiritual and otherworldly-looking paintings. In order to grasp the meaning of his art, one needs to contemplate the visuals, noting the colors and the shades and the objects and the location of the figures, among other noticeable details. Well, he did a painting called "Wander in a Sea of Fog." That lacks clarity. If you look at the painting and picture, probably like me, you scratch your head a little bit. But he really frequently paints these kind of scenes that spark curiosity, that suggest an intuitive perspective or introspective how to approach life. Now, a spiritual one will look at this figure and to be, yeah, we're going to look at it, not with worldly eyes or physical eyes, but let's see what we can see. And look at these figures in the spiritual aspect, the haziness, the mysterious world of God, of faith and kingdom, perhaps, that we fully can't comprehend, but we can only see with our spiritual eye, and an awareness that goes beyond the empirical things that we are surrounded with. Well, you know, it's the way we are sometimes. We're in a fog, not necessarily physical fog, but spiritual fog. And we need eyes to see, but we also need the Spirit to help us understand what we're seeing. So, in a sense, this is the type of vision that Jesus suggests to us when we need in order just to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but to see all around us. It's a kingdom hidden to those without faith, who depend only on what they can see and hear and touch to inform their worldview. But those who sense God is near, for those with faith who believe that truth and knowledge go far beyond our limited five senses, the kingdom is exciting, and it's an exciting possibility of things to come. Now, Jesus' kingdom appears to those who have eyes to see, those born of the Spirit. So what's it mean, preacher, to be born of the Spirit? I've heard that before. Well, what's it mean? Well, the Pharisee Nicodemus asked that same question in the scripture that I just read, and Jesus explained it to him that it isn't enough to be baptized with water. With the baptism of repentance, we also need to be baptized of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we need to be Spirit-birthed, if you will. Moses led the people of God out of the viper-filled desert, out of Egypt, into the Promised Land. But what did he do? He held up a symbol, a serpent on a pole, a representation of their sin and the promise of God's redemption and healing for the people to follow. Likewise, it said in Scripture, Jesus will be lifted up as well as a symbol of our sin redeemed. God's healing salvation will enable all of us, hear that, church, all of us, to enter into the kingdom of God. Not a place, but a presence. Not a physical city or a temple, but a spiritual one, in which our awareness of God and each other become very vital and powerful. But in order for us to understand and see the kingdom, we need to allow the Spirit to fill us, to use us, to guide us, to open our eyes to the truth of the gospel. Now, we as humans see what we are preconditioned to see. If we convince ourselves that nothing exists outside our physical realm, then we will shut down our ability to see beyond ourselves. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to open our eyes and to help us see beyond our physical senses, we will begin to sense the presence of the living God that is with us, beside us, among us, and we will be able to know God in a whole different way. Now, this heightened awareness is a different kind of seeing. I admit to that, but when Jesus tells us that we need to be born of the Spirit, this is what he means. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see newly and differently and more intuitively and more spiritually and more vivid. What will we see? Yeah, we will see Jesus. We will see the truth of his salvation promise. We will become aware of God's presence in our life and in this world that we live in. We will become aware that the kingdom of God is all around us all the time, and that its power is at work in the world, especially when those who are aware of it and tap into its energy and truth. Jesus tells us that we speak of what we know and testify to what we've seen. Those who have experienced God's presence in their lives, God's healing power, God's messages, God's guidance, know what Jesus is talking about. But, you know, I always like the buts in Scripture, but it's not just for those with eyes to see that what Jesus said is true. They also become filled with a powerful kind of hope, a peace, a joy that comes with knowing the goodness, and that goodness reigns, that God's power triumphs over every other power, and that the world and God's world beyond is a much more beautiful place than we could ever imagine. Entire churches, including Bethel, have been resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit in the presence and the acknowledgement of the hidden kingdom. I know that, because if that wouldn't be the case, Bethel wouldn't be here since 1834. Oh, now we've had our sums, our ups and downs, but this little church is resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit. Today in our culture, we are experiencing waves of revival. Asbury and Wilmore, Kentucky, and that movie just coming out, The Jesus Revolution, and it's spreading all over to other campuses. And I can assure you, I don't know that for sure, but I think it'll be here on the campuses in our little area of Tallahassee before long, if it isn't already here. Well, I think it is already here, because that remnant that God always leaves, the place that they leave in the heart of the young people, will come here. Now, they aren't coming from and to the institutional church. They are coming from all these different denominations, and they aren't coming from people trained in the faith. You know, professional evangelists that will bring a revival to your town. Just call us 1-800-GOD and we will come. No! What's happening is the Holy Spirit is descending heavenly upon young people. They call them Generation Z, I think. Anyhow, those who are having their eyes open to the presence of God in a new and mind-blowing ways. People are being baptized in the Holy Spirit by the thousands all over the country. Why? We don't know. You remember that WWJD? What does Jesus say? Well, the wind, as it said in Scripture, blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So, it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. God's not predictable or quantifiable. Isn't that wonderful to know that God's not predictable? It really makes it a thing by faith. Well, the Holy Spirit's movement cannot be predicted or nailed down to a certain people or a condition or a certain church. No, God instead will prevail where God finds soil within it to plant and souls to move. And when and where it happens, people will see the kingdom emerging right in the here and the now. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So whenever God moves, good things are about to happen, and the Holy Spirit is here today, right here in this room. Jesus is here among us always, from now through the end of the age. And we all need to do, all we got to do is just become aware of His presence, attuned to the sound of His voice, awaken to the visible aspects of what He is doing among us. Now, in this time of Lent, more than any other time, it's a time for us to take seriously the movement of the Spirit. For God is ready to baptize those who are ready to receive and open the eyes of those who have been living in darkness. Oh, celebrate, people of God. Let your faith be vibrant and your souls rejoice, for He is here. Living, resurrected, enduring, and powerful, let the healing begin. And as we come to a time of Holy Communion, you know, it is a time of memorial. We have history on our side. We know what's happened in Acts chapter 2 and all the things that Jesus died and was taken on the cross of Calvary and buried and resurrected. That's what I like to call Easter Resurrection Sunday, because that's what it's all about. But He did more than that. He was put in the tomb, and He was raised from the dead, breaking that bondage over sin and death. Amen. That's why we go and celebrate, as Jesus said. Gather often, and do this in remembrance of Me. And as we come up for kneeling to receive the elements of bread and wine, and when we come up to depart from the table, just know that our lives have been made well and whole, and that our sins have been forgiven because of what Jesus had done for us. Well, I hope and pray that you will come and see us in person sometime soon, but if not, keep into a spirit of revival, for Jesus is coming soon. Amen.